This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about God's gift of happiness.
It's been a few years ago now, but I was watching an old movie. I love old movies, you know, the kind that don't have any curse words in them. Love those old movies. And this was a movie that was made way back in 1946. And a young man had his best girl, and they were sitting out under a tree, and he asked her a question. And the question he asked her was, "What is it that you want out of life?" And you know what she said? She said, "Well, like everybody else, I guess what I want is to be happy." Now, I wonder how many of us here today, if I were to ask you that question, that would be your answer. I want to be happy. Is there anybody here? You can raise your hand. In fact, you can stand up if you want to. Anybody here today that wants to be unhappy in your life? Don't see anybody yet. Amen. No. Everybody has that desire to be happy because guess what? God built that desire into us. That's part of our makeup as human beings. And you know, if you have that desire to be happy in your life, I've got some wonderful news for you today. God wants you to be happy too. Isn't that good news? Amen. Look at Psalms chapter 128, verses 1 and 2. Look at how God talks about his people and what's in store for them when they line themselves up with his word and with his ways. Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." Move over to Psalm 144, verse 15. Psalm 144, 15. "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Psalm 146, verse 5. I know you're keeping up with me. Psalm 146, verse 5. "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." God desires for his people to be happy. Now, that's the good news. That's great news. But I have to tell you something. That is not all God wants. In fact, that's not even the first thing God wants for your life. For example, God is a lot more concerned about us being righteous and holy and obedient to his word than he is with us always being happy. Now, I had to tell you that because I've had a number of people say something like this to me. "Well, I know God doesn't want me to be unhappy. And if I keep doing what I think God told me to do, I know I'm going to be unhappy. Therefore, I don't have to do it." Now, where this usually comes up is with somebody that's getting ready to walk out of their marriage. "I'm unhappy. And I know God doesn't want me to be unhappy. And therefore, I can just leave." Now, wait a minute. God is not a fool. Anybody know that? God is not a fool. God is not going to reward you for disobeying him. In other words, God is not going to make you happy if you try to be happy by disobeying his commands. Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting with verse 1. Look at this. God's being straight, laying it out. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Go down to verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Do you think that he's talking about maybe you being happy? Amen? Those are some pretty good blessings there. Amen? God says, I'm going to bless you every way. But catch this. Keep going. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. God's getting serious, isn't he? In fact, look down at verse 63 of Deuteronomy 28. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. God's serious, isn't he? God's saying, look, I want to make you happy. That's part of why I created you. God didn't create us to be miserable. But at the same time, God is saying that happiness will only come within the context of obedience to my word. And catch what he's saying here. If you call yourself by his name, if you say you belong to God, if you say that Jesus is your Savior and you're following him, and yet you persist in trying to make your own happiness by disobeying what you know is the will of God, God says he'll make it his business to make sure you are as unhappy as he can make you. Man, isn't that rough? That's pretty rough, isn't it? But God says, these curses will come upon you. Where you would have been blessed, you will be cursed. Why? Because God doesn't play. So if you want to be happy, you know what the first thing is? Got to get lined up with God. Got to get lined up with him. Think about this. What would it take to make you happy? What would it take to make you happy? Now, some of you already have a figure in mind. You know, $100,000 a year would probably do it, you know. Psychology Today magazine conducted a poll. And they took a survey. They asked more than 50,000 people in the United States, what would it take to make them happy? Let me give you the top answers to that question. First thing they said was good friends. Secondly, a good job. Thirdly, being in love. Number four, recognition and success. Number five, sex. Talked about that. Number six, good financial situation. And by the way, very last on the list was my partner's happiness. Kind of get the idea that it's a little bit selfish. Amen. Think about the answers that they gave to these questions. What all of those answers have in common is that they are tied to particular circumstances in life, aren't they? Oh, I can be happy if I've got some good friends. I can be happy if I've got a good job. But that's circumstances. And guess what? Circumstances change. Circumstances never stay the same. Oh, we think that, oh, if I can just get that job, the one I've been trying to get, the one that's going to give me that good money, the one that's going to give me security, the one that's going to put my name on the door. Oh, if I can just get that job, I know I'll be happy. And you get that job. And a week later, you're saying, man, can I move back to the job I had before? All this pressure and stress in this situation, man. Why did I ever take this job in the first place? It's not worth it. Or you say, I know what'll make me happy. if I can just marry the right person, that's going to make me happy. I'm going to be so happy if I can just get her or get him. And you know what the problem that usually turns out with that? The other person is saying exactly the same thing. If I can just get the right person, they're going to make me happy. So you both sit there staring at one another saying, make me happy. Come on. That's why I married you. Make me happy. And what happens? It's a mess. You see, all of these things that we think are going to make us happy don't do the job. Oh, I know what's really going to make me happy. If I can be assured that I'm going to have good health all my life, never going to have to be in that hospital. Oh, I hate hospitals. Don't want to be there. Oh, I know that if I can just know that I'm going to have good health all my life, I'm going to be happy. How many of you have the assurance that you'll never spend a day in a hospital? How many of you can know for sure? That's not given to you. If that's what it takes to make you happy, I'm sorry. It's not going to work for you. And so all of these things that are tied to circumstances change. Have you noticed something? Do the best you know how every day of your life to try to make circumstances work the way you want them to work, and they still don't line up. How many of you got frustrated this past week? Let's see. Anybody? Oh, man. Look at all these hands. In just 1 week, frustrated. What does that mean? Your circumstances weren't the way you wanted them to be. Amen? If you depend upon your circumstances being the way you want them to be in order to be happy, you will not be happy. Oh, there's got to be a better way. You know the story of the man who took a machete to a school down in York a few weeks ago. And what was his problem? He had gone through a series of circumstances in his life. I understand that the school was a school where his kids had gone to school. And his wife had left him and he'd gone to court. The court didn't treat him the way he thought he should be treated. And so through all of that, he got so angry, frustrated, and upset that he, in some way, thought it was the right thing to do to take a machete and go to school and try to hurt some kids. It's crazy, isn't it? But you see, that's somebody who had his whole life wrapped up in trying to be happy based on circumstances. And when the circumstances turned against him, he couldn't take it. Didn't know how to handle it. He blew. You see, this whole deal of trying to be happy because of circumstances will lead us not up into greater happiness, but down into the pit. If we're going to have what it takes to be happy, we're going to have to find happiness God's way. You know, the world's definition of happiness has to do with things that happen that you like. Happiness depends on what happens. But that's not God's definition of happiness. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preaching to the people, speaking to them, the things that characterize life in the kingdom of God. And the first thing that he talks about in the Sermon on the Mount is how to be happy. Starting with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on in the succeeding verses to talk about blessed and blessed and blessed. Uses that word blessed over and over again. Well, you know what that word means, blessed? The Greek word is makarios. And what it means is to be well off, to be happy, to be extremely blessed. Extremely blessed. And so when Jesus said, blessed are you, he was saying, here's how to be happy. Here's how to be happy. Here is God's definition of what it takes to be happy. Go over to Psalm 112, verses 1 and verse 7. Catch this. You know what's so important about God's definition of happiness? Here it is. When I am living for God, I am extremely blessed. I am extremely well off. No matter what my circumstances may be. When I live for God, it doesn't matter my circumstances. I am going to be extremely blessed even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Look at Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. That's just verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You see what it says? The man who trusts in the Lord is blessed. He's happy, and he doesn't have to be afraid of evil things happening in his circumstances. Because God says that when you walk with me, it doesn't matter. I can take you through circumstances, and you can be extremely blessed no matter what the circumstances are. You see, when you don't have to worry about what's going to happen in your circumstances, then you can be happy all the time. Amen? Go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let me show you what it means in God's definition of happiness. You know, we talk about all the things that we'd like to have to make us happy. More money, that new car, bigger house, different wife or husband. Don't raise your hand. But look at what God says his happiness is all about. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you're walking with God, it doesn't take things to make you happy. God says you can be content with what you've got. You may not have all the things you might want to have, but God says you'll have me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be right there with you all the time. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. When you walk in obedience to Christ, you walk in his love, and your joy will be full, no matter what the circumstances you're in. So, what does it take for us to be happy? What does it take to line up with the word of God and the will of God in such a way that we can experience that fellowship with God that leads us to happiness? Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 3 once again. What does it take? What's the first step that leads us toward happiness? Matthew 5, 3. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, maybe the best way I can explain that is to tell you what it does not mean. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of to be arrogantly self-sufficient. To be arrogantly self-sufficient. I don't need anybody. I can do on my own what I need to do. It's the opposite of being self-centered and proud. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. It means that you're not full of yourself. And how does that translate into our relationship with God? We'll go over to James chapter 4. Look at verses 6, 7, and then we'll jump to verse 10. James chapter 4, starting with verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you see? God is giving us a key here to happiness. What he's telling us is that happiness does not come because of our circumstances. Happiness comes because of our attitude. Happiness is based on attitude, not circumstances. He's saying if your attitude is an attitude of humility before God, then your circumstances won't matter because you will have God moving in the midst of your circumstances. Understand this. Even if your circumstances did work out, so that all the time they were the way you wanted them to be, you still wouldn't be happy if you didn't have the right attitude toward God. Amen? I mean, you can be as rich as you want to be. There are a lot of rich people who commit suicide. You can have a wonderful wife and family and decide to leave home and go out on the road and be a hobo because you're not happy. You see, it comes from the inside, and it's not based on circumstances. When I grew up, I had a happy childhood. Don't I look like I was happy as a child? Yeah, I was a happy little child. Now, I grew up in the segregated South, raised in a public housing project by a single mom, no dad, with very little money. But I had a good time. I knew my mother loved me, and what she had, she gave me. I had a happy childhood. And you see, it was not based on my circumstances. I mean, if you take some kids today and put them in those same circumstances, they'd be going, take me back. I can't take it. Why? Because if you're depending on your circumstances to make you happy, growing up in that situation would have warped your personality. And you know my personality is not warped. What is it that gives purpose and meaning to life? God says it's the attitude that you have toward Him. God says the only road to happiness is to have that attitude of humility toward Him that says, God, I really would desire that you would meet this particular need in my life the way I think it ought to be met. But God, I trust you that you know best. Your timing is best. You know what's good for me and what's not good for me. And even though it might not fit my notions of what it is that will make me happy, I'm willing, Lord, to let you work it out in my life. And God says when you have that kind of attitude, God can work with that. When you have that kind of attitude, God can lead you step by step into the kind of happiness that you have been looking for all of your life. We were looking in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6 says this, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. What does that mean? Every which way. Coming and going, God wants to bless us. God wants to make us happy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Man, that's the promise that God makes when we come to Him in the right attitude, the attitude of humility, the attitude of one who is poor in spirit. How do you get your attitude right before God? Number one, we need to acknowledge God in all our ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Anybody here ever been tempted to do something that you knew God would not approve of, but you felt like it would make you happy or satisfied if you did it? You see, that's what we end up doing a lot of the time that gets us into the deepest pit. We were trying to climb up higher, and we slipped down lower. I took something and shot it into my veins because I thought it would make me happy. It didn't make me happy. I went down to the state store and got something to drink because I thought it would take me out of my pain for a little while, make me happy, but it didn't make me happy. I got married because I thought it was going to make me happy, and it didn't make me happy. All because I was seeking my own understanding. I didn't acknowledge God in every way. I didn't ask Him the question, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? The Word says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. What does that translate to? Anytime you're making a choice on which direction to go in life, you need to consult the Lord. You're going to have friends that will tell you, hey man, this is the way to go. This will make you happy. You're going to see it on TV. You're going to see it on a commercial that they paid $1 million to put on the air. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Whatever the decision is, you need to step back, stop, and say, Lord, How would you have me to handle this? Lord, what is your will for me in this circumstance? Lord, I'd like to go for it. I'd like to get this. But Lord, if it's not your will for me right now, your will be done. Number one, acknowledge God in all your ways. Number two, recognize that without Him, you cannot accomplish anything in life, and you certainly can't be happy. Number three, finally, make it your first priority to draw closer to God. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you want to have the kind of attitude toward God that allows Him to move in your life, to set in place the things that are going to make you happy, you've got to draw near to Him. You've got to be able to hear Him when He speaks. Amen? You've got to be able to follow where He leads. You've got to be able to catch that move of the Holy Spirit that is saying, not this way, not that way. Here's the way. Walk ye in it. And the only way that can happen in your life is if you keep on a continuing basis drawing near to God. You know where you as a Christian will make your biggest mistakes in life? It's when you allow yourself to get so caught up in what's happening in your world, going to work, doing what you need to do, taking care of your family, dealing with your kids, dealing with your husband, dealing with your wife, dealing with all of the issues that you have to deal with every day. So caught up in all of that stuff that you begin to neglect your walk with God. And when you begin to neglect your walk with God, you begin to lose that communication with Him, that fellowship with Him, that allows Him to direct you step by step in the way that He wants you to go. Because understand this, God does not give you a roadmap to happiness. Doesn't do that. You know what God does? God says, follow me today. Just do what I want you to do today. Make the right decisions to be obedient to me today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't wonder, can I keep this up for the next 50 years? You know, that's what a lot of people have in their mind. Oh, I want to follow Christ, but I don't know if I can keep doing it for all the rest of my life. Don't worry about the rest of your life. That's God's problem. That's God's issue. And when we take that attitude, stepping back and making it our first priority to draw close enough to God so that we can hear Him and follow Him on a daily basis, God says He will make our path straight. He will lead us into happiness, into blessedness, even through trying circumstances in our lives. Here's the bottom line. Everybody here wants to be happy. But you will not be happy by trying to be happy. Happiness is not a goal in itself. Happiness is a byproduct of your relationship with God. If you walk with God on a daily basis, you will be happy because God will bring it to pass.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.